We're holding on Hey Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud, the line begins kind of tzarech. So we've been talking about different things where when different chachamim would read different psukim, it would make them cry over the implications of it. So now we have, on the other hand, and we also had, the last thing was, we said that Hashem looks after everything in the world, even the casual conversation between a husband and wife where it's inappropriate. So now the Gemara, now we're going to talk about something where Hashem himself, kavyachol, reacts to something going on in the world. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, the im lois tishma'ua, the Navi is warning the Jewish people, if you don't listen to what I have to say in Hashem's name and do tshuva, b'mistodim tibka nafshi, then my soul, meaning I myself, will cry in secret places mipnei geva, because of geva, which geva is meloshin geva, meloshin the pride, the greatness. So what does that mean? So it means, so the tivka nafshi, in other words, we're saying, it's not just the Navi is saying I'm going to cry, but Hashem himself is saying, kav yachol, that he's going to cry. So omer shmol ba'im yevashmei didav, mokam yesh loyla, kodesh baruch hu umistarim shmoi. Hashem has a certain place reserved for him, which is called Mistarim, the hidden place. And that's where we're saying that Hashem, so to speak, cries over the Churban and the Golas. So, we say Mipnei Geva. So my Mipnei Geva, what does that mean? That Hashem is crying because of Geva. So Omer Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Mipnei Gavos and Shal Yisrael, because of the pride, the greatness of the Jewish people, Shenitla Mehem and Nitna Lo'ovi Kachavim, that has been taken away from them and given to the Goyim. So Hashem cries over that. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Mipnei Gavos Shal Malchus Shamayim. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni says it's the greatness of Malchus Shamayim, of Hashem's own kingship, that has been taken away. Later on in the Masechta, for example, in the second parak, we're going to talk about that, for example, it says that ever since the Jewish people went into Golos and the Bais Mikdash was destroyed, the Chayas HaKodesh don't have as many wings as before, and there were other changes. There were other changes. In other words, Samar Shah says, actually found in it, he says, a Sefer Yoshan, that they're really the same thing. The greatness of the Jewish people is the greatness of Hashem, and therefore when the Jewish people's greatness is humbled, then so is Hashem, so to speak. So Hashem is crying over that. So the question is, is there such a thing as crying in the presence of Hashem, or that Hashem himself cries? Now, obviously, you know, the Gemara is not even getting into the fact that Hashem is not a human being, and all these descriptions don't really describe Hashem, because we understand, you know, the Torah always talks about Dibur Torah Kolosha Mnei Adam, and we understand Al Pi Chassidus that it means that there's something Lamaila that is the source of what we call crying down here on earth, and therefore, so that something on a ruchniistic level is appropriate, can be spoken of Lamaila, at least on some levels of the course. But the question is there even such a thing? Doesn't Rav Papa say that there's no sadness in Hashem's presence? As the Pasuk says, there's glory and beauty in front of him. There's strength and happiness and joy in his place. So in Hashem's place, there's no room for anything other than joy. The answer is loikasha habavati gavoi habavati baroi. It depends between the inner chambers versus the outer. Gavoi means inner versus habavati baroi versus the outer chambers. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, since the pasuk says b'mistarim tivka nafshi, then that means in the inner chambers, on a higher level of elikos, there is such a thing as crying, and Hashem cries for the churban, for the misfortunes of the Jewish people. And then in Bati Baroi, in the outer chambers surrounding that, then there's Oiz V'Ched Rabbim Koyma, because they don't, in other words, the idea would be because they don't feel it as keen. Rabbeinu Chananel says actually the other way around, that in Bati Gavoi, in the inner chamber, in Hashem's own presence, Tavyachol, there's no room for crying. And when we say about Mistarim Tivka Nafshi, we're talking in Bati Baroi, we're talking about in the outer chambers. Now, what are these inner and outer chambers? So this is, you know, we're talking about things in Olam HaSeh Yonim that we're not necessarily going to understand. There is actually, though, there's a, at one point in the Yuds, in Tavshin Yud Dalad, the Rebbe went to be Menachem Avol, the Novominsky Rebbe, and they among the things they discussed were the Nusach HaMokam Yenachem Eschem, Sech Shadeh Litzi and Yerushalayim, where the Novi Minsker was saying that why we say Davka Hamakon, because we're saying that Hashem from His place should send the chametz to us, and they never discussed that actually that may depend on the two different gersois over here, whether we say that the crying or versus the chedva exists in boti gavoi or boti baroi. And the Rebbe explained, in other words, that we're talking about that there's the level of a lakus that relates to the world, and then there's the level of a lakus that's beyond the world. And in Chassidish terminology, the more or less, I guess we would call them the Ora Mamala and Ora Soziv. So on the level, there's a level which is beyond the world. We can't be asking for Hamakim Yenachem Eskim, that Nechama should be coming from there. It has nothing to do with the worlds anyway. So we have to be talking about the level of a lakus, which is shayach to the world, and that and the Rebbe says that seems to fit better with Rashi's that may fit better with Rashi's explanation than with Rabbeinu Chananel's. Okay. So the question is, Rabati Baroi Loi. So you're telling me that in the outer chambers there's no crying. Again, this is according to Rashi's Girsa, an explanation that the crying is in the inner chambers, but not the outer ones. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, the question would be the other way around: is there no crying in the inner chambers? V'aksiv v'yikra Hashem elokim tzvakas v'yemahu. Hashem called on that day, meaning the day of the Churban, livchi for crying, or the misbed and for mourning, or the korcha and for going bald, for tearing out your hair in grief, v'lachgosak. And for putting on sackcloth. Now, of course, Poshet Pshat, we would say, is Hashem is calling that people are going to be doing that. But the Gemara is understanding that Kavyachal Hashem Himself did those at that time also. There's actually a Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, where at the time of the Churban, Hashem, so to speak, speaks to the Malachim and asks them blow by blow. So what does a human king do when a disaster happens to him, when his Ben Yochid passes away, for example? And they tell him one thing after another. He tears his clothes, he does this, he does that, and Hashem, Kavyachol, does each one of those things. So we see, in other words, that Bechi is Shayach, is Shayach by Hashem, in Boti Baroi, according to Rashi, and in Boti Gavoi, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. The answer is, Shayni Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's different at the time of the Churban, Daftu the Malach Shalom Bahu. Even the Malachim of Peace cried. Which means, Rabbeinu Chananel says, that these are malachim that Hashem had sent to make shalom, and nevertheless, they weren't able to accomplish shalom, and so they cried and returned disappointed that they weren't able to fulfill their shlichus of shalom. So even they cried, so therefore we can say that at that point there was crying where there wouldn't normally be. As the pasuk says, Hein er elam tzorakul chutza, behold the er elim are crying outside. Er elim is a type of malachim. Tosfos points out that Poshet Pshat would be that Er Elim means the top of the Mizbeach. Yeshaya himself calls it Ariel, as in Hoy Ariel Ariel. And we actually had this past Shabbos, the Haftarah, also talked about the Mizbeach and mentioned that Umeho Ariel Olamayla Hakronis Abba, that the Ariel means the top of the Mizbeach, where there's a fire, because the fire was in the shape of a lion, which is an Ari. Anyway, so Tosfos says that the simple pshat of Er Elam refers to the Mizbeach, but the Gemara is doushening that it means Malachim. So behold, the Er Elim are crying outside. Malachi Shalom Mar Yivkoyun. The Malachim of Peace are crying bitterly. So we see that at the time of the Churban, there was crying much more than there would be at any other time. So when we said before, when we started Tivka Nafshi, we're talking about on an ongoing basis, that in Boti Gavoy or Boti Baroy, according to the different Gersois, there's no crying, whereas in the other one there is. Again, to put it in terms that the Rebbe was talking over there in that Nichum Avelim, you have the level of Alakos that relates to the worlds and the level of Alakos that's beyond the worlds, Mamala and Sovet, and it's Shayach in one and not in the other. Another Pasuk, continuing the next Pasuk over there in Yirmiyah, the Damoya Tidma, the Seirad Eni Dima, the Pasuk continues. The pasuk continues, my tear will tear, and my eyes will shed tears. Ki nishba eder Hashem, because the flock of Hashem, meaning the Jewish people, have been taken captive. So there's three expressions of tears: damoya, tidma, and dima. So Amar Rav Elazar Sholosh Gemoris Halalu Lama. Why is the pasuk referring to three different tears that Hashem cries from Yaakov? achas al mikdash rishon. One is because of the destruction of the first base mikdash. The achas al mikdash sheni, a second one for the second base mikdash. The achas al Yisrael should golem and koyman, and the third one for the fact that the Jewish people were sent into golos. The ik of the amri, another version is achas al bitul torah, that the third one is for bitul torah, for the fact that the Jewish people are not able to learn torah. That the Jewish people are not learning Torah on the proper level. So the Gemara says, "Bishleimel amanda omar yisrael shegolu." I understand if we say that it means that they went into golos. Ha'inidachtiv ki nishpa eder Hashem. That explains the end of the pasuk that it says that the flock of Hashem have been taken captive. So the flock of Hashem means the Jewish people. Taken captive means went into golos. So therefore, that's exactly what it means. Then it means that the Jewish people have been sent into golos, and Hashem is crying a tear over that. What does Bittul Torah have anything to do with the flock of Hashem? And the answer is, we don't mean stam Bittul Torah, that a person is able to learn thoroughly and they're not. It means kibin shegoli yisroel memkoyman, once the Jewish people have gone into golos from their proper place, there's no greater bitul Torah than that, because that prevents the Jewish people from being able to learn Torah in the proper way. And it also means, among other things, it means that most mitzvahs, among other things, it means that most mitzvahs are not applicable. So therefore, according to that opinion, that's what Hashem has to cry about. We learn in a braisa. There are three things that Hashem cries about every day. And again, we have to understand with all of this, of course, you know, so Hashem is not actually crying, but we mean, in other words, there's something that can be described in our terms as crying, meaning what happens, or what person cries over something when they're not able to do something about it, so instead they cry. So Hashem Kavyochol, when we're saying that Hashem is crying over these things, means Kavyochol, that Hashem's hands are tied, that given the way that he set up the world to work, then these things require us to change, and Hashem is not changing them. So the only thing to do is to be Ma'orah Rachmanus. There's a maimer of the Rebbe Maharash on that subject, in fact, and he mentions also this Boti Gavoy and Boti Baroy that we talked about before, that, in other words, Hashem is crying over the fact that we're in Golos, but what do you mean? Isn't it in Hashem's hand to take us out of Golos? And the answer is it is, but on the other hand, the fact is that right now you have Yinikas HaChitzonim, and in order not to give them more energy than they already have and than they already deserve, then Hashem has to wait for us to do something about it rather than just unilaterally taking us out of Golos right now. This was also the Rebbe Marash said this maimor 150 years ago. I mean, since then the Rebbe has told us the Avodas Habirurim is done, and therefore there should be nothing waiting, there should be nothing preventing Hashem from stopping crying and taking us out of Golos. So why it is something that we can't even begin to understand. Anyway, going back to the Gemara, Tanan Abanan, Shloisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boichale and B'chol Yoyim, there were three things that Hashem cries about every day. Number one, Al She'ef Shalasek V'Torah V'Ein Osek, somebody who is able to occupy himself with Torah and does not. So Hashem cries over the missed potential. Al She'ef Shalasek V'Torah V'Osek, the second one is somebody who is not able to be Osek in Torah, and he is Osek. Now, why should Hashem be crying about that? There are actually some of the Mephoshim who say that, okay, maybe that one is tears of joy. Look at this. This person is not able. He's not in a position. His parnasa or whatever doesn't allow it. And he's still taking time to learn Torah. So according to that, an explanation is that Hashem is crying tears of joy over such a person. However, Marsha says that no. What we're talking about over here, the word oisik in these two sentences means having a job. So efshar lasik v'torah v'eina oisik means that a person is able to learn Torah, and not only he doesn't learn Torah, he doesn't even have a job. So he just sits around doing nothing. So Hashem cries over the wasted potential. And the second one, she'i efshar lasik v'torah v'oisik, where the person is not able to learn Torah because he's too busy with his business, so Hashem cries over that. Because Hashem is saying he wants that person to take some time off his business and spend time learning Torah. A different explanation is that Osik Batod over here means particularly somebody who is learning the deeper aspects of Torah, even though he's not Shayach there yet. He should still be learning on a basic level, so he's trying to learn the deeper parts, and he's not even really understanding those, and therefore, like, he's losing out. At least like this, if he was learning the basic parts, he'd be able to get something out of it. Now, like this, he's not really getting anything comprehensible out of it. So that's another explanation of Oisik Batod of Shi'iyek Shalas Batod of Oisik. Anyway, and the third one is Valpounis Amisgar Al Tibur, a leader of a community who prides himself over the Tibur. This is also included, and we said before, Mepnei Geva, that Hashem cries over that, that here he gave this person leadership over the Tibur, and he's abusing it to make himself greater. Further on this topic about the tremendous catastrophe of the Churban, the Gemara says, Rebbe have a nukit sefer kinnis. One time Rebbe was holding a sefer kinnis, meaning Megillas Eicha, the Kakori Begabe, and he's reading from Megillas Eicha. He mota lahai psukah. He reached the following pasuk, the beginning of Perek Beis. Hishlach v'shamayim eretz. Hashem threw down the Jewish people from heaven to earth. Nafal min yadeh. At that moment, the scroll of Megillas Eicha fell from his hands. Omar, he said, mi igra rom lebeira amikta, it means the Jewish people fell, the Marashah explains, in other words, he himself may have been standing on the roof at that point, and all of a sudden he accidentally dropped the sefer, and it fell from a great height to a great depth. So he says, now I understand what the pasuk is saying, is the Jewish people fell from a high roof down to a deep pit, in other words, the ultimate falling that a person could. So in other words, it brought home to him how great the descent and the catastrophe of the Churban was. Marshall, in fact, points out that the Lebeira Mikta into a deep pit represents also Golas Babel, which is a very deep, low-lying place, as the Gemara says in some places. There's also an explanation on it, in fact, that the vote is for the Megillah itself doesn't make a great deal of difference whether it's on a high roof or whether it's in a deep pit. Either way, it's still intact. But he's saying, in other words, that the Jewish people, we may still be here, but look what a tremendous descent we suffered. Okay, so now the Gemara goes on to another topic, which Maharsha explains that now we're done with this topic of the Chachamim who were crying over various psukim and Hashem himself crying over various things, and now we're getting back to something related to the topic that we were talking about before, about Yireh Yeroah, that a Yid goes to this Mikdash on the Shalosh Regalim to see the Shechina and to be seen by Hashem. So the Gemara says, Rebbe and Rav Chiya have a shakli ba'azri ba'urcha. One time Rebbe and Rav Chiya were walking along the road. Ki matu lahu masa. They came to a certain town. Amri, they said, Ikat suhum en abanan hacha. Well, they asked, Ikat suhum en abanan hacha. Is there a young Tamil Chacham in this town? Nezel and a kabo ape. Let's go and greet him and have the mitzvah of honoring Chachamim. Amri, so they told him, Ikat suhum en abanan hacha. Yes, there is a young Tamil Chacham over here. Umo'urenayim, who when he's blind. Amalei Rav Chiya l'Rebbe, so Rav Chiya says to Rebbe, don't bother, tiv'at, you turn around, you go back, lo tezalzel b'nesiusa, don't treat your nesius casually, you're after all the nasi, you shouldn't be going and then lowering yourself to go and visit a blind person, even if he is a Talmud Chacham. Ezel anova, ef'palapeh, so I'll go alone, and I'll be makabel upon him, and I'll give him honor, it's beneath your dignity. Rebbe wasn't going to go for that. Takfei, he grabbed a hold of Rebbe Chiya, but also Ba'adei, and went with him. If you're going, I'm going. It's not a lack of cover for the Nesius. So they went and greeted this Talmud Chacham. Ki havo miftiri minei. When they left him, Omelahu, the Chacham told them, Atamik baltem ponim anirim ve'enim royim. You have come to greet a face, meaning mine, who's able to be seen but cannot see, meaning I myself who is blind, but you came to greet me. Kizku lahakba ponim aroyim ve'enim nirin. May you have the schus to greet the face that sees but is not seen, namely the face, the presence of Hashem. Marsha says, in particular, we're talking now, Rebbe and Rav Chiya lived after the Churban. So in particular, this Chacham is telling them that you should have the schus to in Olam Abba to be mekabel Hashem's ponim, and even on a higher level than we had before, because now even in the time of the Beis Mikdash, we didn't fully see Hashem's presence. But la'asid lavoi v'ro kol basar yachdav kipi Hashem diber. So we're going to be able to see a schus with our physical eyes. So he's giving them the wish. Then he's giving them the bracha that they should be able to see that level of a schus la'asid lavoi. Amar Leis, the Rebbe says, you know, it's a good thing I went. Eichu Hashta. Now look what would have happened over here if I hadn't come. If you were Eichu Hashta Menaitin Mahar Birchosa. Now, if I hadn't come, if I had listened to you and said it's beneath my dignity, then you would have prevented me from getting such a beautiful bracha. Amru Leis, and they said to the Talmud Chacham Miman Shmielach. Who did you hear such a nusach from? They assume that he himself wasn't capable of coming up with such an idea on his own. So he tells them, "Mipirkei de Rabbi Yaakov Shmieli." I heard it from the shir of Rabbi Yaakov. The Rabbi Yaakov Ishkvar Chitya have a makdal after the Rabbi Kol Yoma. Rabbi Yaakov Ishkvar Chitya used to go and greet and visit his Rebbe every day. Ki kash, when he got old, Rashi says it means Rabbi Yaakov. Hagoyes Habach though takes out the word Rabbi Yaakov, so apparently Hagoyes Habach understands that Rashi wants to say it means when the Rebbe got old, whereas according to the Gersa we have in front of us, in Rashi it would mean when Rabbi Yaakov got old. Anyway, Omer Loi Lo Mitzdar Mar, so he, the Rebbe, said to him, don't trouble yourself, Dola Yochel Mar, you can't, you're having a hard time of it. Omer Loi, so Rabbi Yaakov says, why should I stop visiting you? Mi Zuter Mai Dechtibu Barabonon. Is it a small thing, this, that it says in a pasuk about the Chachamim? V'chi oid lo netzach. It says he will go on to live forever. Lo yira shachas. He will not see shachas, which is the which is Gehenim. Ki yira Chachamim yamusu. The next pasuk continues. Ki yira Chachamim yamusu. Because he will see the Chachamim die. So simple pshat in the pasuk means, Tosfa says it means that the it's talking about Rishoyim. V'chi oid lo netzach lo yira shachas. Does a Rosha think that he's going to live forever and never see the grave? Does he not realize ki yira chachamim yamusu? He sees that even chachamim pass away, so he should realize that one day he's going to also and do tshuva. But here, Rabbi Yaakov took it as a statement that because he sees the chachamim pass away, therefore he will live forever and not see Gehenna. Therefore, he said, "Uma haroya chachamim misosin yichya." So Madach, a person who sees Chachamim after they passed away, is going to live in the schus of that, the Chayei, and Allah is Kama Makama, how much more so when he sees them when they're alive. So therefore, I want to continue seeing you while you're alive. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov to his Rebbe, I still want to continue visiting you every day, even though it's hard for me. By the way, you have the question, what happened to Gedolim Tzadikim and Misosan Yosim and B'chayeim? So how does the Kama Choyma work? So there's a sefer from one of the Balei HaTosfos called Yechusei Tanoim Vamiroyim. Officially it deals with the brief biographies and whatever of the Chachamim mentioned in the Gemara, but it also, in the course of that, gives a lot of explanations about different things in the Gemara. So he explains, when it comes to, okay, Golan Tzadikim Misos and Yosim V'Chayeim, but when it comes to learning Torah from them, you're able to, in a way, when they're alive, more than after they passed away. Okay, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that the Yachim V'Chayeim means that the Tzadik's Emuna and Av of Yira is available more in the world, but at least from the point of view of actually being able to have a personal relationship with the Rebbe, that it's easier to do when he's alive, and therefore that's what the Gemara is saying in the Kavach HaYom over here. The Gemara tells another story, which doesn't really directly seem to be related to this, but the relationship seems to be that we were talking about visiting one's Rebbe, and here we're going to be talking about visiting one's Yeshiva. And the Gemara says, Rav Idi, the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, it's possible that it's maybe also the same Rav Yaakov that we were just talking about. That might also be the connection. Anyway, the pastor's not, though. It doesn't seem it works out time-wise. But anyway, this Rav Idi have a rogel to have a ozel tlosa yarchi ba'urcha v'chad yoyme b'beirav. He used to spend 3 months traveling on the road and one day in the Beis Medrash. So in other words, Rashi says he lived 3 months travel away from the Beis Medrash. So after Pesach, he would leave and travel for 3 months. and be able to spend one day in the Beis Medrash, and then he has to turn around and start heading back home, and then he would do the same thing after Sukkot. So Sach HaKol is only in the Beis Medrash 2 days a year. Marsha explains that the one possibility is he wanted to be home with his wife together for Yom Tov. So Shavuos, okay, he had no choice. If he wants to stay home for Shavuos, he's not going to be able to travel at all. But at least Pesach and Sukkot, he's going to be home with his wife. And then Marsha says maybe not necessarily. Maybe it's just that not necessarily he lived 3 months away from the Beis Medrash, but he used to have to travel to go look for Parnassah, and it took him 3 months because on the way he had to find temporary jobs. Anyway, so Sach HaKol is only in the Beis Medrash 2 days a year. So the other Chachamim in the Beis Medrash used to call him in a mocking way the yeshiva, the one day yeshiva student, like Oichmer Tamid Chacham, Oichmer yeshiva student, when he's only here 2 days a year. Cholash Daiteh. Rav Idi felt very bad about that. And he applied to himself a pasuk from Iyov that says, I've become a mockery for my colleagues. But Rav Yechanan, who realized how great this Rav Idi is, he says to him, I plead with you, don't punish the Chachamim. In other words, don't be so offended that you were insulted by them that you're going to be moseh din l'shamayim, that you're going to go complain about them to Hashem, because that can have very severe consequences to them. So don't do that. I'll take care of the matter, says Rabbi Yechanan, so they don't make fun of you anymore. Nachach Rabbi Yechanan lebe medrash of the darash. So Rabbi Yechanan went to the Beis Medrash and darshin. The pasuk says va'osi yoim yoim yidroshun. The pasuk says me Hashem says day by day. They search for me, the das drocha yachfotzun, and they seek to know my ways. So we're focusing on the word yoim. So v'chiva yoim doshenosei v'alala in doshenosei. Why the word yoim yoim? What do you mean day by day they search for Hashem? And what about the nights? Maharsha says, since it says yoim yoim, so it implies that it means only the daytime, that we're saying dafka to be mamai at the night. So it means Ella, Yom Aloch, it comes to tell you, Kol Ha'osik B'Torah Afilu Yom Echad B'Shana, a person who is fully involved in learning Torah, even 1 day a year, and in this case, Rav Idi is 2 days a year, Mala, all of our Kosev, Kila Osik, Kol Ha'Shana Kula, so Hashem, the Pasuk considers it as if he had been Osik in Torah the entire year. This is our derech, like you have the expression, b'mokim sh'machshav t'shal adam shamhu. A person is where his thoughts are. Since Rav Idi's thoughts are on the Beis Medrash, and his whole travel is for the purpose of going there, so therefore it can be considered like he's there the entire year. V'chein m'minas koronus. And continues Rav Yechanan, the same way is true as far as punishment. Dichtiv, you find by the Meraglim, the Mispar Yom Rashatautim Asa'orat, it says the number of days that you've spied out Eretz Yisroel, you're going to spend in the Midbar. So what do you mean? What do you mean? They didn't sin for 40 years. They only sinned, the Meraglim sinned in their travel of Eretz Yisroel for 40 days. So it comes to tell you, a person who does an Avera even 1 day a year, again, we mean, you know, where he's completely involved in that Avera that day, and maybe the rest of his time is also spent planning for it. So then Hashem considers it as though he was over the whole year. There's a Tosfos in Sota that asks what happened to Meruba Midat Torah Midas Koronos. So if we're saying Midas Koronos, Hashem is doing a year for a day, then Midat Torah has to be greater than that. As Maharsha says, okay, what it means is that Midat Torah is never less than Midas Koronos. In a case like this, it could be equal to it. Usually it's more, but at least it can't be less than equal, which is what it is over here, 1 year for each day, both for Koronos and for Torah. Now getting back to the halachas, to the main topics of our Mishnah, we said a zehu katan, so we said that a katan does have to be brought on a aliyah l'regel. So we said, what is the definition of a katan who has to be brought on a aliyah l'regel? So we have Bet Shammai and Besilul. Bet Shammai had said, kol she'eni yachal lirkov al k'sefer shel aviv, if he's not able to ride on his father's shoulders, then he's too small to be brought for aliyah l'regel. And Besilul had said, only if he can actually walk holding his father's hand. But the Mishnah had mentioned, both according to Bet Shammai and according to Besilul, that was saying that he's able to walk from Yerushalayim to the Harabayis. I forgot to mention in the Mishnah, actually, an interesting point is, why are we saying only until the Harabayis? You have to go further. You have to go to the Azara. So, okay, the Tosfos Yom Tov says, listen, once you've already made it to the Harabayis, up all those steps, then to go to the Azara is fairly easy. The Meshech Chochma brings an explanation on it. He says, because the halacha is that they're allowed to expand the Azara if they want to. The king, the Navi, the Urim Metumim all have to agree to that, and then they can expand the Azara. And how far can they expand it? Until the end of the Harabayis. So therefore, the Mishnah mentions walking until the Harabayis, because that's the furthest the Azara could ever reach. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, Masti Flutter Zera, Ad Hocha Man Asye. What do you mean? That he's able to walk, or he's able to be carried from Yerushalayim until the Harabayis. Who brought him all the way there? The Pashas, we're not talking about a kid who lives in Yerushalayim. In other words, Rashi explains the question, if we're assuming that they came to Yerushalayim without the mother, well then, so who brought him until Yerushalayim? That we should say that now, as long as he's able to walk from Yerushalayim to the Harabayis, then he'd be chayiv and aliyah l'regel. And Lechura, his mother is not chayiv in aliyah l'regel. So Rashi explains like this. We're assuming, for purposes of the question, that the mother did not come to Yerushalayim. So therefore, if she didn't come, then a child who's old enough already to leave his mother for a while to go to Yerushalayim is also necessarily old enough to be able to walk with his father. So is able to walk holding his father's hand. So who brought him there that we're saying that he's such a little kid that we have to talk about whether he's able to walk, or Beshama is saying even if he's only little enough to ride on his father's shoulders, at that time he wouldn't be away from his mother for that long. The answer would be, up until this point, from wherever city they live, until Yerushalayim, his mother is chayev in simcha, because fine, she's not chayev in aliyah l'regel, but she is chayev in the mitzvah of simcha, which implies eating meat of shlomim, and therefore, so she, and she has that as well. Rashi says that she has the mitzvah herself. Tosfos brings from other Gemaras that her husband has a mitzvah to be Sameach. There's a discussion in different places about the parameters of it, but in any case, the point is, since she's gonna have to eat shlomim, and then necessarily it means she has to come to Yerushalayim. Therefore, so up till this point that his mother is chayiv and simcha, I see, say imei, then okay, his mother brought him, so he might be taka, a little kid, and still he was with his mother the whole time, so therefore, we can only talk about from Yerushalayim. Mikan va'elach, from that point, since his mother is not chayiv and aliyah l'regel, so im yachol lalas v'lech as v'yadishol ovim Yerushalayim ha'arabayis, if he's able to go uphill and to hold his father's hand and go from Yerushalayim all the way to the Harabayis, chayev, then he's chayev the Eloi Potter, and if not, then he's Potter. So that's what it is. In other words, his mother, so at the beginning of the Masechta, we mentioned Rashi said that his father and his mother are chayev and chinuch. There is actually, as I mentioned there, a good deal of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim about the exact details of that. Is a mother really chayev in her children's chinuch, or is it exclusively a mitzvah on the father? And of course, the mother helps out, but maybe it's not technically a mitzvah on her. So one possibility is that Rashi is talking, based on our Gemara over here, that the mother is the one who makes it possible for him to come to Yerushalayim in the first place by accompanying the family to Yerushalayim rather than staying home. So the Gemara says, Heshiv Rebbe Tachas Beis Hillel L'Divrei Beis Shammai. Rebbe, standing in for Beis Hillel, asks on Beis Shammai, who says that as long as the child is able to ride on his father's shoulders, then he's old enough to have to go on aliyah l'regel. Now, how could Beis Shammai say that? We have a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, after Shmuel was born, where Chana, so every Yom Tov, it says over there, Chana would go on aliyah l'regel together with his family. This time it says, V'chana loy olasa, Chana did not go on aliyah l'regel, ki omra l'isha, because she said to her husband, Adi gomel anar, I'm waiting until the child is weaned, the baby is going to be nursing for 24 months, 2 years, Rabbi Yosef, and then I will bring him to the Mishkan. The question is, while Shmuel the Yochel Lirkov al Ksefiv shall Aviv Hava, on the face of it, during those 24 months, Shmuel is already old enough to be riding on his father's shoulders, even if he's not old enough during that time to be walking on foot with his father, holding his hand, but at least according to Beis Shammai, who says that the minimum age for Aliyah L'Regel is that he's old enough to be carried on his father's shoulders, well, surely during those 2 years, Shmuel reached that age. So why is Chana keeping him home? It must be, says Rebbe, must be like Reb Hillel, that it's only when he's at an older age, only when he's able to walk. In fact, Rashi uses the expression, if he's able to ride on his father's shoulders, near Shalayim Laharabayis, Rashi says, Kol Shekin, Mishilo the Mishkan, how much more so from Shiloh to the Mishkan? So an interesting point is, why the more so? And the answer is, if you actually ever visit the ancient city of Shiloh, and they have over there a site, which they think it's a flat area over there about the right size for the Mishkan, so they think that's where it was, it actually is slightly downhill of the town. So therefore, so if a child is old enough to go on his father's shoulders uphill from Yerushalayim to the Harabayis, all the more so he'd be capable of going a little bit downhill from the town of Shiloh to the Mishkan, and yet Chana is saying that I'm going to keep him home until then, until he's weaned. Omele Avua, so his father answers him. So the Avua would mean his father would have to mean the pastor's Rebbe's father. On the other hand, there's a different Gisa, Abaya, and that would mean, in other words, that the original discussion wasn't Rebbe, because Abaya lived many generations after Rebbe, so it would have to be that, in other words, this discussion was not Rebbe, but rather there's a different Gisa that says it was Reb Zera. Anyway, so Omale Avua or Omale Abaya, the Litai Meich, knew, and according to your own Svara that you're asking about Shmuel, Tikshilo Chana Gufa, why don't you ask about Chana herself, Milo Mechayiv of Simcha? We just said that a woman is Chayiv in Simcha, or at least that her husband has the actual Chiyuv to be Mesameach her, so why is she staying home, and it means therefore that she's not partaking of Karbanat Shlomim during the Yantav? So we have to say, Ela Chana Mefankusi Yisrael to Chazia Baby Shmuel. What must have happened is that Chana saw that Shmuel was particularly delicate. V'chosha Baby Shmuel, v'chosha de'urcha. So she's concerned about that Shmuel might get sick on the road, and therefore she was afraid to take him to Shiloh until he's a little bit older, until he's 2 years old, and he's a little healthier and is able to make the trip. So nothing to do with. So therefore, so Bishamai would say, there's no proof from there that he wasn't chayev in Aliyah L'Regel. If he had been a healthier child, then, or if Chana hadn't been afraid for his health, then yes, she might have brought him on Aliyah L'Regel even before that, because he's old enough already to go on his father's shoulders. But Hayos, because she saw that he was delicate, that's why he didn't end up going those first 2 years. So no contradiction to Bishamai's opinion. The Gemara continues, Boy Reb Shimon, on the side of it here, it says Ben Lakish, has a question, Katan Chigil Divei Bes Shammai, what about, according to Bes Shammai, if the child is lame? Now, according to Bes Hillel, obviously, if he's lame, he's potter because he can't walk with his father, he can't walk holding his father's hand. But what if, according to Bes Shammai, that all we care about is that he's able to be carried on his father's shoulders, but let's say he's lame, he himself would be unable to walk, the Sumo L'Divei Shnehem, or according to both Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel, if the child is blind, so even a blind child is able to hold his father's hand and walk, but what would be the divrei shneim, according to both the Shammai and the Silo, mahu, what would be the din? Are they chayev? Because after all, it's their father bringing them and not them. Or do we say, we learned earlier that a lame person, or even lame in one leg, we said it is potter from Aliyah L'Regel. Similarly, we said a blind person is potter, and we had an opinion that even if he's blind in one eye, then he's potter. So therefore, so maybe we would say that since as an adult he's going to be potter, maybe he's potter now. So the Gemara says, hey Chidami, what's the scenario? Are we talking about where it's a permanent condition? He's lame and he's never going to be able to be healed, and he's blind and he's never going to be able to see. Well, of course he's potter. Hashtag Godo Potter, Kosumi Boya. Even an adult would be potter in such a scenario. Do you need to ask about a child who's only coming because of chinuch in the first place? Of course not. The answer is Lloyd Tzricha, yeah, but Reb Shimon's question is only necessary the chigur sheyochalei spashet, the suma sheyochalei spateach. If you have, he's lame, but he'd be able to be healed from it sometime. The Rashi and Tosis both explain that we're talking about he'd be able to be healed during his childhood. So sometime we've consulted with doctors. They say they're able to cure him, so that while he's still a child, he'll be able to walk or he'll be able to see. Of a sumo shiyachal is pateach. So now what would be the din? Do we say that since sometime during his childhood, he's going to end up being cured, and therefore, at that point, as an older child, and as an adult, he's going to be chayev. Maybe even now, his father is already chayev to bring him. Tosfos spells it out. As an adult, he's going to be chayev daraisa. So therefore, as a katan, he'd be chayev in chinuch. On the other hand, we could say that look, in his current condition, he's not going to be chayev in aliyah l'regel. Fine, once he's cured, then we can start bringing him, but we're not necessarily chayev to bring him now. So what's the din? So Amar Abaye says, here's the rule. Kol heichad begodim chayev daraisa, whenever an adult would be chayev daraisa, cotton nami machanchin le midrabanon. So if he's a cotton, then we're machanchim on a drabanon level. Kol heichad begodol potter midaraisa. But if in his current state as an adult he'd be potter daraisa midrabanon cotton nami potter, then drabanon he's also potter. So yes, if the child is blind or lame, even though he can be cured later on during his childhood, but right now he's blind, and if he were blind as an adult he'd be potter. Right now he's lame. If he were lame as an adult, he'd be potter. Therefore, now he's potter as well, and his father does not have to bring him. The Mishnah had said, "Beshama oimim hariyah shtei kesef v'chula." We said that Beshama and Beshilah argue about the oilas riyah and the shama chagiga, what the minimum cost for each one of them. Beshama said the oilas riyah has to be worth at least 2 ma, and the shama chagiga at least 1 ma, and Beshilah said the other way around. So now let's talk about what the logic is behind their different opinions. Tanan Abanan, Beshama Oimim Hariyah Shtei Kesef, Vachagiga Mar Kesef. What's the logic, says Beshama? Why should the Oilas Riyah have to be twice as expensive? Because Shariyah Oila Kula Lagabaya, after all, the Oilas Riyah has an advantage. It's more important than the Shama Chagiga. It's completely offered to Hashem, Mashenkin Vachagiga. As opposed to the Chagiga, is a Korban Shlomim, and a Korban Shlomim is mostly eaten by the Koyanim and the owners, so it's on a lower level. Therefore, it can be worth less. But Oid, furthermore, Beshama says, Matsinu Ba'atzeres, Shereva Behana Kosaba Oilas, Yosim Vishlomim. We find when it comes to Shavuos. Shavuos is the one time of year when the tzibur brings a shlomim. This is, we say, in Ezer Mekayim and Zivche Shalmei Tzibur Vashomers. So they bring Shalmei Tzibur on Shavuos. The Shalmei Tzibur consists of only 2 sheep. Meanwhile, they're bringing a lot more oilas than that. They're bringing 10 animals as an oila. Shivas Kvotim Tmimim, Upaya Ben Bakar, Ve'elam Shnayim. So they're bringing 10 oilas and only 2 shlomim. So you see, therefore, that the oilas are more important and should cost more than the shlomim. That's Beshamai. Or Beshilal, I mean. Beshilal says the other way around. What's the logic, they say? Shechagiga yeshna lifnei hadibur, because there was such a thing as a korban chagiga, namely a korban shlomim, before Hashem even spoke, before Matan Torah, they were already bringing shlomim, which we're going to talk about in great detail in the Gemara later, but Rashi explains at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, it tells certain details of what happened in the days before Matan Torah. So it mentions of it there, Vayishlach as Nari b'nei Yisrael, and it says they brought shlomim. Rashi explains, even though that's in Parashas Mishpatim, where Matan Torah is described in Parashas Yisrael, this is one of those examples of Ein Muktim or Ma'ocha B'Torah, that story at the end of Parashas Mishpatim is going back and describing some events that happened in the days before Matan Torah. So it says that they brought shlomim. Now, the Gemara is going to ask that it also says they brought oilas. But right now, Beshilal is focusing on the shlomim that they brought. There was a chagiga, there was a shlomim, lifnei adim, mashenkin b'ri'iyah, as opposed to there was no oilas ri'iyah. Now, that's the Gemara is going to ask soon. There was an oila, so we're going to answer that. So we'll get back to that. So that's one thing. First of all, then Beshilal says there's an advantage to a shlomim that we see it was brought even before Matan Torah. Furthermore, says Beshilal, Matzinu b'Nesiim Shadriba b'Hanakasa b'Shlomim Yosef b'Moilas. Look at the Nesiim, where the proportion was the other way around. The Chanukah Samizbeach. Every day the Nesiim are bringing their korbanos. We learn it during Chanukah, and we say it during the first days of Nisan. And every day we have over there, every day they had a couple of animals for an oila, so they had three oilas, but then so every day they had 17 shlamim, so they had a lot more shlamim than oilas. So therefore, so Vesilo says that's the reason that the Chagiga, which is a Shlomim, should have an advantage over an Oila. So the question is, Vesilo, my time in Le'amrik Vishamai, why doesn't Vesilo agree with Vishamai's Svara? What do they see wrong in Vishamai's Svara that there's advantages to an Oila over a Shlomim? The answer is, they say the true proofs that you Vishamai are bringing are not just such strong proofs. Your first argument that you're saying that an oila su'iyah is better because it's completely offered to Hashem, you can say, on the contrary, we would argue that the chagiga is better because you have two different consumptions in there. The mizbeach consumes part of it, and people consume part of it. So therefore, in a way, that's better than an oila where there's only one consumption where it's completely consumed on the mizbeach. And we talked about at the beginning of the Sefer, something that the Rebbe explained, the Mekut HaSichas, that we often find that Beis Shammai looks at the generality of something and Beis Hillel looks into the details. So when you look at the overall picture, yeah, an Oila, which is burnt completely on the Mizbeach, seems to outrank a Shlomim, but Beis Hillel says, when you look into the details, you find that actually maybe a Shlomim is greater. And Udekamet Nelech Matzeres, you're saying we should learn from Shavuos, where you have more Oilas than Shlomim? No, done in Korban Yochid, the Korban Yochid, they ain't done in Korban Yochid, the Korban Sibur. Basilo is going to say, it's better to learn the Chagiga after all, the Korban Yochid, better to learn from the Nesiim, which those were also Korbanus brought by the Yechidim. So we'll learn that from that, they ain't done in Korban Yochid, the Korban Sibur, rather than learning from the Korbanus of Shavuos, which is a Korban Sibur. Okay, or Beis Shammai, my time in the Amik Beis Hillel. What does Beis Shammai see wrong with Beis Hillel's Svaris? Beis Hillel, again, said, number one, you see that Chagiga was Lifnei Adibur, and number two, you see that the Nesiim brought more Shlomim than Oilas. So Beis Shammai would say, Dika Amik Chagiga Adifa, Yeshna Lifnei Adibur. You're saying the Chagiga is better because it existed before Matan Torah. So what? Re'i Nami Yeshna Lifnei Adibur. The Re'i also, because the same Pasuk also mentions that there was an Oila. And the Gemara is going to explain that according to Beis Shammai, that Oila was an Oila Re'iya. So we're going to have to explain soon. We're going to say that Beis Hillel holds that it was a different type of Oila. We'll get back to that soon. But therefore, so there's no advantage to a chagiga, to a shlomim over an oila, because both of them were brought before Matan Torah. And udekamet nelef nesiim, you Beis Hillel are saying, let's learn from the nesiim. No, says Beis Shammai. Dunin davar anoig l'dordus, min davar anoig l'dordus. Fakir, we have more reason to learn from Shavuos because both the chagiga and the korbanos of Shavuos continue to last as long as the Beis Mikdash is standing. They ain't done in Dabra, Noig Ladurus, Medavashain and Noig Ladurus, rather than learning from something which is a one-time thing. The Nesiim's Korbanus is a one-time thing, so therefore we're not going to learn from it. Okay, the Gemara asked to Beis Hillel, Mai Shnoch Chagiga de Yeshna Lifnei Adibur. Now why, let's go back to Beis Hillel. They're saying that there was a Chagiga before Matan Torah, Dichtiv by Yizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim, because in the Shvatim over there it describes that Moshe sent Nare Bnei Yisrael, meaning the Bechorim, and they offered Shlomim. Re'iyanami, Dichtiv by Yavu Oilas. The same Pasuk also says earlier, right before that, says they brought Oilas. So they brought both Oilas and Shlomim. So why is Beis Hillel insisting that there was a Shlomim and saying there was no Oilas? Yeah? The answer is, Kasabri Beis Hillel is going to hold Oilas Sheikrivi Yisroel Bamidbar Oilas Tomid Havoi. The oila that the Jewish people brought in the desert was not an oila su'iyya. In other words, they were. There was reason to bring an oila su'iyya because they're seeing the presence of Hashem by Yiru SLK Yisrael, it says a few psukim later. But nevertheless, Beis Hillel is holding that the oila that they brought is not the oila su'iyya specifically for that occasion, but rather the general oila tomid, the fact that you have to have a korban tomid twice a day. So therefore, you see that there was no oila su'iyya. So they're bringing vayalu oilas because they had to bring a korban tomid. Aside from that, they brought shlomim. So according to Beis Hillel, shlomim is the only thing brought that had to do with the occasion, and therefore shlomim outranked oila, say Beis Hillel. As opposed to Vishamai Sabri, where Vishamai holds no, Oilashik, really, Shoba Midbar, that Oila, the Jewish people brought in the desert, Oilas Re'iyah Havoy, it was actually an Oilas Re'iyah, in honor of the fact that they're seeing Hashem's presence, by Yasu Asadakim. So therefore, we can learn from it for the future, that an Oila, that you have both an Oilas Re'iyah and a Shamai Chagiga, and therefore they say that, that takes away Basil's argument that a Shlomim is greater than an Oilas, that a Chagiga is greater than an Oilas Re'iyah. So the Gemara points out, Amar Abaya, Bet Shammai, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shmuel, Kulu Svirlu, Oyla Shisrael, She's Kriwi Yisrael Bamidbo, Oyla Svi Yavoi, all these three Tanoim, Bet Shammai and Rabbi Lozer, Magoyes Habach says it's actually Rabbi Yezer, and Rabbi Shmuel, Kulu Svirlu, Oyla Shi Kriwi Yisrael Bamidbo, Oyla Svi Yavoi, they all hold that this Oyla that was brought on the 5th of Sivan, the day before Matan Torah, in the Midbar, was an Oilas Re'iyah, in honor of the fact that Vayachsu Aselakei Yisrael, Vayuru Aselakei Yisrael, Vayachsu Aselakim, yeah. On the other hand, Ubes Hilul, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yisag, really, Kula Svirlu, Oilas Sheikru, Yisrael, Baminba, Oilas Tominaboy. On the other hand, Rabbi Hilul, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yisag, really, all hold that it was an Oilas Tomin, that it wasn't an Oila, especially in honor of the fact that they're seeing that they're seeing the presence of the Shekhinah, but rather the regular Oilas Tomid that they had to bring twice a day. Tosfos points out that, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Lozer or Rabbi Eliezer would say that Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel didn't disagree on that. Yeah, many times in the Gemara, where later Tanoim disagree whether Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel even argued about a particular point, they would say they did not, and therefore they would say, so it's not that they're holding like Bes Shammai. We know Bes Shammai, the Makom Bes Hillel ain't a Mishnah, but rather they're saying that there's never any machlokas about this, and everybody agrees with the opinion that you're attributing to Bes Shammai. Okay, so we have three different Tanoim on three different sides. So let's go through and show how that's the case. Bes Shammai Hodam Moron. Bes Shammai, we just explained that they said the Oila there was an Oila Sri'iyah. Rabbi Shmuel, where do we see that Rabbi Shmuel said such a thing? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm a Klolos Nemu B'Sinai. Now we have to consider, we know there's a lot of mitzvahs that are described, when Hashem gave the Torah, but then the details of many mitzvahs are only described later on in Chumash. So when were those details given? Rabbi Shmuel says only the general mitzvah was given at Sinai. Upratus, Nem, Upratus, V'Oyel Moed, and the details were given later on in Oyel Moed, a year later, almost a year later, when the Mishkan was set up. In other words, for example, Rashi says, let's say about Korbanos. At the end of Parshas Yisroel, right after Matan Torah, Hashem tells Moshe some basic dinim of Korbanos. Mizbach Adom Atasa, leave is a vachta olav, as ola secha vat shomecha. But it doesn't give all the details over there. What do you do with the blood of the korban? Yeah, the fact that you have to skin the korban, that you have to cut it up, or you have to cut up an ola a certain way, the fact that you have to offer the imurim, etc. None of that does it say over there. It only says that in Chumash Vayikra. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that to begin with, Hashem gave Moshe only the general mitzvah, you have to bring korbanos. And then later on, after the Mishkan was set up, then Hashem told him all the details. So in other words, those details did not apply before that. Rabbi Akiva says no. Klolos Upratos Nemu B'Sinai, both the generalities and the specifics were all said at Har Sinai. V'nishnu ba'oyo moyed, and then they were repeated in oyo moyed. V'nishtalshu ba'arvis moyev, and then they were repeated a third time in arvis moyev when Moshe taught it to the Jewish people in Sefer Devarim. So even though it's not written earlier, Rabbi Akiva holds that as soon as Hashem gave Moshe the mitzvah of Korbanos, for example, he taught him all the details that are in Chumash Vayikra. Now, so therefore, so it has to be, the Gemara says, that Rabbi Shmuel must necessarily hold, like Bes Shammai, that this was an Oilas Re'iyah. The Isaf Adaydach Oila Sheikrivi Yisrael Bamidba Oilas Tomid Havoi, if you were going to say that the Oila that they were bringing at that time on Hay Sivan is an Oilas Tomid, like Bes Hillel holds, then it wouldn't work according to Rabbi Shmuel. Mi Ikam Midi de Meikra Le Bori Hefshit Nituach, because how could you have that originally the korban tamid is brought without hefshet nituach. You don't have to strip off the skin. You don't have to cut it up a certain way. Or you just offer it whole on the mizbeach. Or the soif boi hefshet nituach. And later on, after Hashem gives the mitzvahs in Chumash Vayikra, then it's going to change. And then from then on, the procedure for the oilas tamid changes and we do it with hefshet nituach. Therefore, necessarily, it must be that it was, that now, Tosfos points out, in other words, the details about hefshet nituach, it says by it says well Tosva says it says the gufe, it says by the ola itself, really actually it says it by an ola nedava. But nevertheless, at least the korban tamid being a korban ola and being an ola that's brought every day, then therefore we would assume the same rules apply to it. As opposed to the ola sreiya, fine, but it doesn't say anything about hefshet nituach in connection with the ola sreiya. So therefore, Beis Shammai and we're saying now, Rabbi Shmuel can say that in fact the Olas Re'iyah at that time did not require Hefshet Neturah. Okay, so later on that changed and an Olas Re'iyah, just like every other Ola, does require it. But that's not as big a deal to say that there's a change versus the Korban Tamid, where it mentions Hefshet Neturah more in connection with an Ola that's more similar to the Korban Tamid. And the Meiri gives a different take on it. He says, in other words, the Olas Re'iyah that we're talking about over here may not even been something that Hashem commanded them. It was something that they, on their own, decided, you know what, we're appearing in the front of the presence of Hashem. Hashem is showing his presence to us. Therefore, by rights, we have to go to the Korban. So therefore, the Gemara, so therefore, there's less of a problem to say that it didn't follow all the later rules of Korbanos as far as Hefshet Nituach. But to say that it was the Korban Tamid, that would be something that Hashem commanded them to do, then how could it be that in the middle, the procedure of it changes? So therefore, that must necessarily mean that Rabbi Shmuel holds, like Beis Shammai, that it wasn't an Olas Tamid, it was an Olas Re'iyah. And therefore, that's why Beis Shammai is saying there was an Olas Re'iyah. Then also, so therefore, your proof, Beis Hillel, that a Shlomim is greater, because there was one before Matan Torah, Beis Shammai would say that would fall away. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, where do we see that Rabbi Lazar, or Rabbi Yezer, holds this way? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Olas Tomid Ho'asuriyah B'Har Sinai, you have to bring the Olas Tomid as was done on Har Sinai. So Rabbi Lazar, I mean, Ma'aseh Nemer B'Sinai, it means the procedure of how to bring the Olas Tomid was said at Har Sinai, B'Hi Atzma Lo Korva, but the actual Korban Tomid was not brought at that time, namely the Olas that the Bechorim were bringing was, as we were saying, an Olas Re'iyah. Rabbi Akiva, I mean, Rabbi Akiva says, no, Korva V'Shuv Lo Pascha. The Korban Tomid was brought then, and from then on, it never stopped. They continued bringing continuously throughout all the years in the desert. Tosfos points out, when you get down to it, we're talking about a korban that was brought the day before Matan Torah. But nevertheless, we're saying that Maaseh, the instructions of how to give it, were given at Har Sinai. There's actually a sicha in Chelek Chof Ches where the Rebbe talks about that and explains that the vort is that since Matan Torah was going to be the next day, and Shabbos and Yom Tov already have an effect on the day before them, you have Tosfos Mechol Al HaKodesh, for example. So therefore, the fact that Matan Torah was going to take place on the next day, that already had an effect on the Korban from the day before, that it's considered as if it was a Korban after the time of Matan Torah, and therefore that we can learn from it for the future. So therefore, so we can learn from the details that were given from that about that Korban, for the future. So Rabbi Lazar is saying the instructions of how to give the korban were given then, but the actual korban tamid was not brought then, whereas Rabbi Akiva is saying they continued to bring it from then on. Elamani Mekayim. So Rabbi Akiva continues, so what do I do with the pasuk that where the Navi is telling the Jewish people the important thing is not to bring korbanos, the important thing is to listen to what Hashem says, and he says as a proof, Hazvachim u'mincha yigashtem li b'midbar aboy v'shana beis Yisrael. Did you Jewish people bring to me zvachim and mincha during the 40 years in the desert? In other words, apparently not. So the Navi is saying that they didn't. So how can Rabbi Akiva say that they continued bringing the Olas Tamid throughout all that time? He says, Shifte shal Levi shalai obdra Avodah Zarah, Shevet Levi, who did not worship Avodah Zarah, as we have in this week's parasha, Heini Krivu Oisa, they are the ones who offered it. In other words, they brought it out of their own funds rather than all the Jewish people contributing to it. Says Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, we see that Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Eliezer hold that the actual Olas Tamid was not brought on, was not brought at Har Sinai. It was brought only afterwards, only after Hashem gave the instructions, which is later on in Chumash Vayikra. Okay, so now let's go through the three Tanoim who say that they did bring an Olas Tamid there on the fifth of Sivan. Beis Hillel Hodam Moran, we said Beis Hillel says that they consider the Ola there was an Olas Tamid, and therefore they say there was no Olas Re'iyah, however there was Chagiga. and therefore they say Chagiga is stronger than Ola. By the way, how they're saying it was Chagiga, we have to remember when Moshe first went to Paray and told him, let the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, he tells them, Shalach Hasami v'yachoygu li bamidbar. So it means they should make a Chagiga for me in the desert. So when do we, what's the first time we find them bring a korban? Here. So therefore, this shlomim, where the first find them bring a korban shlomim, that is here. So therefore, this shlomim is the Chagiga that they had told Pari that they're going to be bringing. And this Hillel saying only that. There was no Olas Re'iyah because they say that it was an Olas Tamid. Therefore, they say that we see that the shlomim is more important than the Olas Re'iyah. Rabbi Akiva, we also just said, because he brought the discussion between him and Rabbi Lazar, where Rabbi Lazar had said that it was an Olas Re'iyah, and Rabbi Akiva says when Olas Tomid, it was an Olas Tomid, and the Olas Tomid continued continuously from there. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, where do we see Rabbi Yosef Aglili addresses this Tanya? Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Sholosh mitzvahs itzdavi yisrael ba'aloysim l'regel. The Jewish people are commanded three mitzvahs when they go on a lila regel. Re'iyah v'chagigah v'simcha, to appear in the Vesmechdash and bring an olas re'iyah, to bring a korban chagigah, and simcha, as we said, to eat the meat of a korban. And he says, each one of them, yesh v're'iyah she'in v'shtehen, the re'iyah has a feature that the other two do not have. Yesh v'chagigah she'in v'shtehen, the chagigah has a feature that the other two don't have. Yesh v'simcha she'in v'shtehen, and simcha has a feature that the other two don't have. So let's go through them. Yesh v're'iyah she'in v'shtehen, what's the feature that re'iyah has that the other two don't? So re'iyah oyla kula l'gavaya, the oylas re'iyah goes completely, is completely burnt on the mizbeach to Hashem, mashenken v'shtehen, as opposed to the chagiga is a shlomim. The simcha is also involved eating the meat of a shlomim. So those two are eating my people as well. Yes, the chagiga mashen v'shtehen. Where does the chagiga have a feature that the other two don't? Shechagiga yesh nalipnei adibur, because the chagiga existed even before Matan Torah mashen v'shtehen, which is not true of the other two. So we see therefore that he holds with Beis Hillel and with Rabbi Akiva that oila that they brought on Hay Sivan was not an oilas re'iyah, but rather an oilas tomid. And he continues yesh simcha mashen v'shtehen. And then you have a feature in simcha that you don't have in the other two. Shaf simcha nehegasba noshim of a noshim, because the mitzvah of simcha applies to both men and women, mashein b'shtein, as opposed to the re'iyah, and the chagiga only apply to men, as we said in the Mishnah. Because after all, the mitzvah says shav man grom. So we see that Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds like this Hillel and like Rabbi Akiva that it wasn't an oilas re'iyah. That there was no Ola Su'iya before Matan Torah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, my time, Chamokas may Chamokas like Veshamai. Now let's see, among the group that we said that are on Veshamai's side, we said Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Shmuel. Now Rabbi Lazar, fine, he said pretty clearly that Vehi Atmo like Korba. But as far as Rabbi Shmuel, why are we saying he goes like Veshamai? We would rather he goes like Veshamai, because by his time already the halacha had been established like Veshamai. So why are we saying that he goes like Veshamai? And he's saying, and we're saying the svara was because if we were going to think that that oila that they brought on the day before Matan Torah was an oilas tamid, can't be. We said before me ikamidi me ikla le bori hefshet mitruach or the slave bori hefshet mitruach. We said how could it be that the same korban that the same korban previously didn't require hefshet mitruach, because according to Rabbi Shmuel we said those details of hefshet mitruach only came into operation when Hashem gave the mitzvah to Moshe at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, which is only after the Mishkan was built, and well, so is Bori Hefshim in Turach, and you're going to say later on it does require. So what kind of a logic is that? We just said that Rabbi Yosef really says that the Ola they brought was an Olas Tamid, and Meikra le Bori Hefshim in Turach, or the Soif Bori Hefshim in Turach. And we see that Rabbi Yosef Aglili, in fact, holds that there was that change, that previously it didn't require Hefshet and Nituach, and now it does. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Oyla Sheik, Rabbi Yisrael by Midbar, that Oyla that they brought on Hay Sivan, Eina Tuna Hefshet and Nituach, it didn't require Hefshet and Nituach, Lepisha Ein Hefshet and Nituach, Elam Oyl Moir Baila. Because Hefshet and Nituach only begins after Oyl Moir, after he holds like Rabbi Shmuel, that Hashem gave the details to Moshe first time in Oyl Moir, and up until that point, those details didn't apply. Gemara says, you're right. Smimi kan Rabbi Shmuel. Delete Rabbi Shmuel. So you have only two. You have Beis Shammai, and you have Rabbi Lozer or Rabbi Eliezer is on their side. We can't necessarily show that Rabbi Shmuel necessarily holds like Beis Shammai. Maybe he holds like Beis Hillel. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.